Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Hello and welcome to the Cubby House Project for the first week of May 2011. I'm Cookie.
I'm Jack.
Hi, I'm Kevin.
And thank you very much to Lisa and Lonster, the Hang 10 guys. Thank you very much. Many a laughs were had during the show, I must admit. And now we are doing a particularly fond topic of Kevin's tonight. You're going to love this one, aren't you?
Yes, yes, I am. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are discussing toxic love.
Toxic love. What does toxic love mean?
Well, what's the first thing that pops into your head when I say toxic love, Jack?
I think of that song in the movie Fern Gully, done by Tim Curry.
With the toxic hex thing?
Yeah, that he plays a big sludge slime thing and he's taken down the rainforest. So he's toxic and he's singing about loving being toxic. Maybe that's just my own childhood coming through.
Cookie, please save the topic. What's the first thing that pops into your head when I say toxic love?
Stalker. Like the serious mass stalker.
Ooh, stalker, serious. Well, yes. I'm doing a shout out to everyone at work because I did a good brainstorming session there and they are fantastic. And I have to mention, toxic love tonight, gentlemen, is not cane toads spawning.
It's a bit more Kathy Bates in Misery kind of toxic love.
Yes. Well, the first topic we'll deal with in our toxic love is toxic self-love.
Ooh.
And so situations you get in where you just by yourself and the love that you have just, it's bad. It's so bad.
Our second part is basic toxic relationships, that we're moving on from the self and we're moving on to toxic relationships with other people. The toxic right. is just spreading around, ain't it?
Apparently it takes two, gentlemen. It takes two.
Yes, and whoever said it takes three to tango with the last topic of tonight, and that will be the extreme toxic situations where you indeed need a third party of some degree to come in and help sort out the toxicity of said relationship. Now, we do have an SMS topic. You can text us on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au for the answer to the question.
When do you think love turns toxic?
You can send in your responses right now. But I don't think we've actually addressed what toxicity actually is.
No, I think we skipped that section. So let's go for a little bit of definitions, shall we?
I love definitions.
Yes, Jack, we know that about you.
Nothing gets me hotter than
a dictionary?
A dictionary. Oh, yeah, hot
Skipping
and heavy.
Right along. Toxic, ladies and gentlemen, is the degree to which a substance can damage an organism.
Love is the emotion of strong affection and personal attachment.
And toxic love is when love means damaging yourself or others in varying degrees of severity. Did you guys know that the Germans share the same word for gift as they do poison? Gifts and poison, same word in Germany.
Charming. And on that note, I think we have a music interlude. Don't forget, you can also jump on our Facebook page to search for the Cubby House Project. Like us, you know you want to.
Say, have you heard about this internet thing? It's pretty cool.
What's even cooler is our original website has finally been unhacked. So you are more than welcome to check it out, cubbyhouse.com. cubbyhouse.net.au.
That's the Cubby House.
All right, gentlemen, let's get back on topic. Self-love of toxicity.
Toxicity.
So, have you ever had times when what makes you feel good is really, really bad for you? As humans, we crave love and acceptance, yet sometimes the way that we achieve these goals can be harmful in the long run. Cookie.
Yes.
What springs to mind when you think of toxic self-love?
I think of media images, what I'm constantly having to reflect as to what is beautiful, and then have to look at myself in the mirror and think that I don't measure up to the same standards of what other people might consider, at least from the media portrayal, of beautiful.
Toxic self-image. Isn't that a killer?
I just wanted you to keep talking in that voice. That it's very Richard Mercer-esque of love song dedications. So, why don't we just make this our anti-love song dedications hour? Why don't we?
That's right. If you want to dedicate any anti-love songs, feel free to SMS them in as well or contact us. We might put them on. We might not. Depends how we feel.
Mm-hmm. So, what about yourself? What comes to mind when you think of toxic love, Kevin?
Addictions. Addictions and the wonderful excuses that we come up with for why we need them. Cigarettes is a classic one. Alcohol is another one. Party drugs, I suppose.
I mean, cigarettes to party drugs, they're fairly toxic in a literal sense.
Literally. And they're so bad for you, apparently. They cause cancer and all kind of nasty, nasty things.
I suppose you could also put, to some degree, junk food into that category as well. You self-binge.
True.
Now, when you talk about toxic self-love, that to me what comes to mind is vanity. Bonfires of the vanity. Just when you know that there are people that are all around you that think so highly of themselves, that put I think they're so above everybody else that they've got such a great esteem of themselves, is what I'm getting at.
Those people that think they're far too good for you.
Yes, the people that think that they're far too good for me. Which obviously is a load of crap, because I think I'm a very eligible bachelor and that I could have any man I wanted to, should I try. I mean, I'm a very beautiful, handsome person.
Of course you are, Jack. Of course you are. And that's not a toxic viewpoint at all.
Not no. only... I run this entire ship, this radio station, this is my operation.
Don't you mean you run the planet, Jack?
I run this whole planet and it revolves around me.
Getting back to the topic. Toxic self-love.
That was vanity in 30 seconds. Thank you.
I think it was a bit more than 30 seconds. Vanity. A bit more than vanity too.
Vanity in a lifetime.
Yes, there is many situations that people find themselves in where what they love is actually damaging to them.
Yes.
And what can we do about this, gentlemen? Or before we get to what we can do about it, Cookie, can you think of a situation that you yourself were put in where you had your own toxic self-love?
I think you came to the rescue quite recently on this one. As much as I have over the years claimed that I have not liked this game, I did eventually get involved in the game of World of Warcraft.
Oh, not again.
Well, you might actually like the outcome of this one. It got to a point where a friend of mine, namely Mr. Kevin here, had turned around and said, look, I think you've played it too much.
I played the intervention card.
You did.
I did.
And thankfully, I'd already put on an authenticator onto my account, which means, like a mother or father could do to their child who thinks they're playing a game too much, you basically take access, or you take hold of the authenticator, and that's basically their key card into the game.
So essentially, the only reason I did it was to give you about a month off.
Yes.
Just to see how it is without the game. Because you seem to be spending more and more time on there.
Well, same thing could be said for perhaps people who sit on Facebook or the internet in general and just constantly trawl through profiles or websites or just chatting online but never actually going out and experiencing what it would be like to see that person face to face.
There is actually a study that was done recently that I think it was something like 75% of people lie on their Facebook to impress their friends. They say they go to events and they check in at places that they're not.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, God. And, dick size, please. It's almost an extension of that, is it not?
Doesn't everybody have 8 inches?
Oh, apparently.
Yes.
I mean, it's far less than my usual 12, but...
Jack! It's a bit of an underestimation from what I've heard.
I'm a wild stallion, baby.
All right. So you're in a situation, you find yourself in a situation where you love something that's very bad for you. Gentlemen, what can you do about it? What are some potential solutions?
Listen to what you would consider good advice from friends and family who might just turn around and say in good love and kindness, you might want to slow down.
Advice from friends and family? I like it. Jack?
I think that when you think of toxicity, that a helpful way to think about it is perhaps visualizing it like a black ooze, which... Yeah, it's like a tar.
Sings and dances.
It sings and dances like tar. That it's tar for the self. It's slowing things down. That it's dirty. That it clouds things up. And you know it in your own mind when something is wrong. That I think that a lot of the times when you feel that you're going overboard, when you've got control problems, that you know that something is going on. That it's being able to recognize those particular signs. That when you feel as though the activities that you do are oozing and causing damage not only to your social life but to your esteem as well.
Your mental health and your emotional health as well.
Can I also precursor that with the point of acceptance? To accept that there is a problem or there is an issue to begin with is also a very particular point that we also need to acknowledge.
It is very good to accept it, and you obviously need to do that first step, but I think the other thing you can do is, and I'm stealing this right from Jack, because we had a previous conversation about it, I think you also need to be hard on yourself. You need to, once you've accepted that there is an issue, it's all very well to be able to say, there's a problem. Yep, that sure is a problem.
Yeah,
but you've got to be hard on yourself and find a solution.
I should probably get off Facebook and do that assignment, shouldn't I? But
yes, Jack, how many words do you have to write by tomorrow noon?
1,500.
How many have you gotten so far?
I've done a lot of research.
That would be zero, correct?
That would be zero.
Get cracking, boy.
You are on Joy 94.9 with the Cubby House crew. We are doing Toxic Love tonight, and our SMS topic is the question, when does love turn toxic? You can SMS 0427JOY949 or email on air at joy.org.au. Now, thank you for those who have already sent their messages in. What do we have on
We've got
list?
Lots of feedback, and I must especially thanks everyone who's jumping on Facebook and doing the comments. We love feedback. It gets me off. Well, we know Jack just needs a dictionary.
Yes.
I apparently need comments. Stroke my ego. Now, the first comment I'm going to mention...
My ego is at least three times the size of yours.
The first comment we have comes from Mark. Thank you, Mark. I'm glad to say that I have not had to deal with toxic love firsthand. However, I've seen it in some couples of varying degrees. I definitely agree with Kevin on addiction, mainly drugs and alcohol, and how it can damage or destroy a relationship quite quickly. Very true, very true.
And thank you to Anonymous, who has also sent in, I'm thinking love has turned toxic when your partner starts pole dancing. Very interesting indeed. I wonder if it was for anybody in particular.
Don't know. Another shout out to Just. Thank you very much. Toxic love, pretty much when you declare war on each other. Much like Pet Shop Boys' song, So Hard.
Thank you very much, Just. We'll also be getting to some of the Facebook messages later on in the show. Now, our next part of the topic is toxic love between two people, the basic relationship and toxicity.
It's not just two people that you can... I mean,
relationships are more than two people.
Well, for some, yes. For some others, they are not.
In fact, one of the first topics I want to bring up in sort of relationship issues is one that hits home a lot for me because I happen to be polyamorous, and it's how jealousy can turn a relationship toxic.
Yes.
That so ooze just seeps over the entire relationship.
And that's not limited to polyamory. Mono people have... jealousy issues as well.
Also, open relationships to some degree as well. Depending on how the communication is between the partners involved. If they can openly express that jealousy or if it's something that becomes a bottled issue.
No, the toxic jealousy I'm more talking about is the kind that controls the relationship. The kind where one partner has such a degree of jealousy that... he stops the other partner from being able to do stuff. that it just, it becomes this controlling force of, I'm jealous that, you know, you're doing this, so you can't do that.
Okay.
It's that over-controlling toxicity, that blackness.
It's Kathy Bates' toxicity at that point there, where it's kind of a few steps behind hobbling the person so they don't leave the house and call the police, but make sure they finish their next novel and make sure that it's done right.
True.
Well, it's don't you hate it when that happens?
Jack, how many words have you got to write by noon?
1,500.
Apparently we need to get Kathy Bates in.
Yes.
You know, it's not only jealousy that can cause these kind of issues. There are lots of issues that can control a relationship and turn that love to something that's just icky and toxic and just awful.
All right, let's spin it into, say, an open relationship. And part of your agreement is you only play with a third person.
What do you mean you only play with a third person?
Well, in terms of in an open relationship, you don't go one to somebody else. You can only play with them if you're playing all together.
So have to play together.
Yes.
That's a very common rule between open relationships.
Hmm.
It's actually a very, it can be a very limiting one, especially if both partners have very broad tastes.
That's right. Now, what if the third partner, though? What if the third person that comes in, do they get treated as an equal?
I believe they should. When I have polyamorous relationships or when I have open relationships, as someone who has been the third person and someone who has invited the third person in, the general rule is to treat them the same way you would if you were single. So essentially you don't say, if Jack and I were in a partnership. Jack. Now, let's say Cookie was our third partner.
Hi. Hello.
Now, we'll let you pause there to, you know, wipe your mouths on all the saliva that you've got going, listeners, and move on. Essentially, if you were to come into our relationship, we should treat you as if individually we were still single. I wouldn't ignore your needs or your requirements or not touch base with you simply because I'm in a relationship with Jack and you can get stuffed.
Mm.
That is a very toxic environment.
Or another way of miscommunication is you and Jack know what you guys like, but don't communicate that to me. So therefore, I can't reciprocate the pleasure you're giving me back.
Oh, the classic miscommunication would actually be a lack of rules, where Jack and I have rules and we don't bother to tell you about it. And then you go and do something and we come down on you like a ton of bricks.
Yep.
Basically going, well, you just broke our relationship rules, but we never told you about them.
And that can also lead to other issues in that same vein of infidelity.
Infidelity is a classic one because it doesn't only damage the relationship that you're currently in. Infidelity can ricochet into the next one, where if you've been with a partner who has had their previous partner cheat on them, I mean, I don't know if this has happened to either of you, but it has happened to me. And this whole concept of, well, I was cheated in the past, so you need to do this and this and this so that I can keep trusting you. And I'm like, but I haven't broken your trust yet.
Yes. Well, it's... All right. Well, give us an example of something you've come across over your years of meeting people.
A very classic one was I was not allowed to go out at night to a club or anything like that without my partner being present. Reason was because his previous partner had gone out and cheated on him. And essentially, he didn't trust me, not because of anything I had done, but because of what the ex-partner had done.
Okay.
And it frustrated me very much. It limited my social life. It affected me when I didn't do anything. And it was an incredibly bad situation.
It's also bordering on possession, is it not?
It is.
It is. The reason I it kind of reminds me of possession and that particular story alone is... I've had one person many years ago that basically when he knew his partner was going out to see friends, wasn't necessarily just going for the usual social catch-up. He got to the point where he literally dragged me. I didn't know what was involved getting into the car, but I later found out through the conversation in the car, he was driving over to find his partner's car at the friend's place, and then insinuate that they were playing around behind his back. And unfortunately, this story is not the first I've had of this situation. Not to the point of actually stalking where the car was, but insinuating that things were happening and rumours were spreading behind the backs of the partners involved. So it then became this fear factor that started driving the wedge between them without being able to talk about it.
Yeah, it's toxic relationships are obviously not very good. And let's face it, they don't only end when the relationship ends. Sometimes they go nuclear, gentlemen.
That's right.
And the relationship just keeps getting bad and bad. And I think we've all had bad breakups. Jack?
I have been a person that's done a bad breakup. But, yeah, it's a little embarrassing to actually say it, as embarrassing as it was to say it then, that I was in a relationship with a person who treated me very nicely, but there was quite a large economic inequality between us, that I was a pauper, I was a student, and he was in the workforce, and he would treat me to nice things, and we'd go out to nice dates, and I got quite comfortable with it. I appreciated the attention, but in the process, I felt as though I had bypassed an intensity in the relationship to going into a comfort stage. And besides ideological differences which arose throughout the relationship, also the economic differences became a tension point until I felt as though I couldn't justify being a financial burden upon this person. That's how I felt that I was.
Power play and inequality in the relationship, in monetary value or intelligence or anything like that, can very quickly turn to toxicity. You just have to be honest with yourself, be honest with your partner, and hopefully have a decent level of communication to be able to work it out. And the most important thing is to remember, if a relationship ends, it's not the end of the world. Have your little teary, have your moment of mourning, move on. Seriously, there are so many people out there. If you can't find someone that you can be honest with and happy with, you need to go see someone.
Joy 94.9, you are listening to the Cubby House Live with Cookie, Jack and Kevin. Now it is time for our regular segment of the week, our Listener of the Week. It is when we sample one of the wonderful bears in our community and ask him a few rapid-fire questions, as well as a few other little tidbits about how he got involved in the community. This week we speak to a wonderful redhead, which Jack could lovingly relate to, in the Ranga community.
I swear they're stalking me. I swear you're stalking me.
It is.
You're stalking them.
Mr. Mark Cunningham on Joy 94.9.
My name is Mark. I'm 29 years of age.
Are you available or unavailable?
Recently, I've come off the market and I'm now in a happy relationship with my man of about 3 months.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
If we go for a collection, definitely pick up on the Hulk's abilities. I'm a big Hulk fan. If a single one, definitely super speed.
What's your ideal employment?
I'm not sure exactly what job will be most preferable for me. I work in the superannuation industry, and at the moment just completing study, and then I'm going to try moving my way back up the corporate ladder.
Where's the weirdest place you've had sex?
Ooh, involving how many people? I've done that in the tray of a ute.
Your favourite item of clothing?
Nothing.
Who would you most like to have sex with, if you could be anybody ever?
I've already had sex with them. And it's my other half.
Would you date yourself, and why?
Fuck no, I'm not that crazy. I wouldn't wish me upon anybody in the world. I'm a collection of personalities all at the same time, according to one of my close friends, Becky.
Sexually, what melts your butter?
Definitely a little bit of an aggressive personality. Very sort of forward. It does sort of get me a little bit, shall we say, excited with the right fella.
What's something you couldn't live without?
I'd probably actually have to say internet. Unfortunately, I'm a bit of a gamer and also a bit of a troll.
Do you prefer organization or chaos?
Definitely 50-50 on this. You have to enjoy both sides of the coin.
How did you get involved in the bear community?
Probably about 2 years ago. I actually met somebody who was a bear, funny enough, in the sauna in Wellington. And we got chatting away, which, you know, was a big taboo, chatting about just random stuff besides sex in a gay sauna. And he was telling me a bit about the bears, and I didn't know what the hell of that bear actually was. And he mentioned about the community and a bit about the Laird, which I'd never heard of before. The only thing I sort of knew of in the gay scene, I guess, in regards to clubs and bars, would be the Peel, which I'd never set foot in at that point in time, because I thought, as I guess somebody who identifies as a bear, I didn't think I'd fit in there. And he told me about it, and the rest is history. I visited there 2 weeks later, and here I am.
From your time over that 2 years, have you seen the bear community change?
I can't say I've really seen a change because it's only been about a 2 year period, but I've found myself becoming more comfortable in it because obviously as a new person on the scene, it's very deer in the headlights. The thing that I just enjoy about it is that they just seem to be very warm, homely fellas who just sort of will accept you with open arms, and some of them trying to bed you.
Where do you see the bear community going?
The bear community, I think it's actually, I don't know maybe if it has changed a little bit in the last 2 years in that it's become a little bit more mainstream. Funny enough, the word bear around my workplace is known all over the place, unfortunately, because of me. It's a community I do see that's going to keep on expanding. Yeah.
Describe the first time you went to a gay bar.
Yeah, definitely deer in the headlights. Walked in on my own. My mate who told me about, you know, the gay bar and the bear scene was going to be there that night, but he wasn't showing up for about another 2 hours or so. So I've walked in and straight away looking around, not knowing, you know, where anything was, and seeing as everybody staring at me, oh my god, what am I doing? Definitely freaked out a lot.
Now, what are some of your hobbies?
Obviously, gaming, internet, a bit of a comic book nerd. So Marvel, DC, etc. But more so, I'm just a bit of a social flower, in a way. I just enjoy just hanging out with my mates. A few drinks, a few more, and a few more after that.
From some of your hobbies, have you met new people and friends from them?
Through gaming, I've made quite a few friends. I used to play a lot of internet cafes, semi-pro gaming. A little bit through the, actually one of the comic shops I used to go to, met a few permanent friends who I still chat with nowadays.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Joy 94.9, you are with the Cubby House Project with Kevin, Jack and Cookie. We are talking toxic love tonight. And a few messages from the Facebook page answer the question, when do you think love turns toxic?
We've had Louise from Sydney. And she says that love turns toxic as soon as someone stops taking their drugs, starts taking heavier party drugs, or it turns to toxic when it goes to resentment or anger.
Hmm.
Very true. Very true.
Yes. When you're relying on a further issue later on.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Now, Mr. Daniel says, when continuing the relationship at the expense of your personal mental health and happiness and well-being, he can tell you firsthand it isn't worth it.
No relationship is worth sacrificing your mental health or emotional stability.
That's correct.
Sorry. That you can try and stay around, but you're not going to change him. Well, you've got to recognize your limitations, man, and say, I love you, but I can't help you.
I don't think anyone should enter into a relationship wanting to change someone. That in itself is very bad. That's a toxic relationship just waiting to happen.
Mm.
Now, we've also had Lee message in. Lee's a bit of a comedian. He says love goes toxic when it's stored over 4 or under 65 degrees.
What?
Thanks, Lee.
In other words, you keep it at... keep it frozen on ice, or keep it hot. That's what he's saying. That don't leave it at room temperature. Otherwise, it's just going to go moldy and yuck.
And we've also had Craig message in. Love can never turn toxic. Relationships, however, can.
Mm.
Different viewpoint on it.
Very different. That's it. I've had enough. I'm leaving unless you guys continue to like the Facebook page. This is Joy 94.9. You are listening to the Cubby House Project.
Facebook is toxic.
Facebook is not toxic. Over-abuse of Facebook is toxic.
Anything's toxic.
I would officially like to put a challenge out there. We have 100% of our demographic as male.
Really?
That's a lot of men.
That's a lot of men.
On Facebook.
It's just raining men on our Facebook page.
I would like to challenge anyone they can to get a female audience member.
Yeah.
Your time starts now.
This is Facebook / The Cubby House. That's where you can find us on Facebook. It's our little piece of the internet.
I'm also putting a second challenge out there because I'm incredibly disappointed at this. More than a third of our likes are coming from Sydney.
Sydney!
Melbourne, you're falling behind.
What about Brisbane?
Brisbane doesn't even come up.
What? Not even Brisbane? No! That's Adelaide. What about Adelaide?
Doesn't come up.
Oh,
we've got Sydney and Melbourne. Melbourne, you're letting the team down.
France, you're doing better than Adelaide.
So is Chile.
So is Chile.
That's right. Cubby House is international, ladies and gentlemen.
That's it. Now, whilst we are looking up on Facebook, we are also checking the emails for the messages that have come in on 0427JOY949, answering the question, when does love turn toxic, which is our topic for this evening, toxic love. And once the page decides to load...
Ah, there we go.
Thank you Ta-da. Very much. Who do we have more messages from?
Steve the Truckie.
That sounds good
evening.
Hot.
Good evening, Steve.
All right. And Steve goes on to say, I think love has become toxic when you no longer feel happy to be with that person. Instead, you feel stuck.
I think that's a good way of whittling down the subject, actually, that it's about feeling stuck. That's...
It is. It's definitely about stuck, but moving on with the actual topic at hand, the last thing we wanted to have a quick swipe at is extreme toxic love. Those situations that are so intense that you literally need an intervention from the police, from a third party, from professional help, to just work your way through the issue.
Now, let us make a clarification. A third party, in this particular case, we are not involving friends. Maybe family, depending on the circumstance, but more so in the terms of an extreme, immediate intervention, such as a professional or law enforcement.
Well, extreme toxic love is situations of intense abuse, either yes. physical abuse, in which case you'd need to go to the police, but you've also got mental, emotional, even social abuse as well, to a certain degree, can get pretty bad.
Yeah. Would you consider threats of suicide, like if you split up, they're going to kill themselves, sort of an emotional blackmail of sorts?
Is that even a question?
I think you've got two levels of toxicity there. One, which is about self-toxicity, someone who's wanting to kill themselves is in an incredibly bad place. And that toxicity is spilling out into their actual relationship.
Mm.
And I feel very sorry for people that are in these situations where they have a partner that has gotten to that level. All you can do is reach out, try and find professional help. Don't, I mean, if you want to try and solve the situation, if you think you can, go for it. But honestly, I think the best thing you can do is go and seek professional help.
The reason I asked that question, and I'll also relay you to a website which I've since found. The website is lovegoodbadugly.com.
What was that again?
lovegoodbadugly.com.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically a website that gives you bits and pieces about certain situations. And the reason I asked about the suicide is one of the topics is someone tells you, I'll leave you, if you leave me, I'll kill themselves. And they question, isn't that a sign of passionate love or are they trying to control the choices? Now, that website also came to me through the Also directory, which was listed under Domestic Violence Resource Center. So if you want to go pick up your latest copy of the Also directory, you'll find them in one of the page 11, actually, as far as a resource to go to talk to someone in seeking help. In these circumstances.
Once you've gotten to that level of extreme toxicity, there are lots of places you can go to. Another really good place is the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find them online at www.switchboard.org.au, or you can ring them. The number is 0396632939. That's 0396632939. Please do not hesitate to give them a call if you feel that you need to.
I mean, when you're in a situation of extreme toxicity, it's important to kind of keep in mind that the love and compassion and care that you feel for this person is real, that it is very real. And that's the reason why victims of abuse go back into those situations, sometimes multiply, before they realize that they need to take the proactive steps to be able to make action for their own lives. That you sometimes being in love with somebody means having to say no.
And having said that, so long as you're talking to someone, ideally a professional, but at least someone, then you can rest assured that you're not alone. Regardless of the outcome, you are not alone in this particular situation.
Also, don't forget the community at large as well. They are there. There are resources that you can go and talk to if you don't necessarily want to go straight to a professional. The community resources are there too.
This is the Cubby House Project with Cookie, Jack and Kevin. We have been talking on our topic tonight of toxic love. Thank you very much to all those people who have SMS'd and emailed in on the question, when does love turn toxic? I think we've got a fair idea amongst the consensus here tonight what some people consider a turning point for toxic love. But what have we learnt here in the studio as far as how we feel toxic love kind of develops and what to do about it?
Personally, I think that if you look at it on a broad spectrum, everything is toxic to a certain degree. It's your level of toxicity that you're happy to stick with, and it's never being ashamed to go and seek help if it's beyond the level of toxicity that you're happy with.
So to some degree, it's the price of admission to some degree.
Thank you, Dan Savage.
We love Dan Savage. He comes up with some beautiful pearls of wisdom in the many shows he does. So, yes. What do you think, Jack?
I'd probably say that probably the things that I draw from this particular episode is that sometimes being in love and sometimes having dignity and respect for yourself and other people just means sometimes having to say no. Sometimes it's about discipline, that sometimes you've got to be able to make a stand and make your own intentions known. Otherwise, you could very well be not only trampling on yourself, but allowing yourself to be trampled on.
What I can take away from this, in retrospect to the phrase that love is blind, that sometimes you have to listen to other people. Sometimes you have to listen to your inner self just to get a sense of, is this where I really want to be? Is this where I want to go? And is it healthy? And then if it's not, if you can answer no to any one of those questions, that's when you need to speak up. That's when you need to seek help, advice, and means and ways to correct all three of those questions to make sure that they all tick yes to all the boxes.
Basically, don't forget to be honest with yourself.
That's right.
I mean, truly honest with yourself. If you're in a situation that you're not happy with, stop making excuses.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest with yourself. There is so many more possibilities out there that can make you happy. Go out. Get them.
That if you're bored, then don't stick around in the hope that something might come along. That's stringing on another person, and that's cruel.
Yes. It is. So thank you very much for joining us on our toxic love episode. Cookie, you have one more thing that you'd like to say.
I do. That is to reminder, if you are looking for resources as to where to go for information, the website lovegoodbadugly.com. You can pick up an also directory book, and on page 11 and further, it has more resources. One of them is also the Domestic Violence Resource Center. You can check the website out, dvrcv.org.au, or, as we've mentioned before, the Gay and Lesbian Switchboard,
which is www.switchboard.org.au.
Or their phone number, 9663-2939.
Well, we barely touched the surface of this particular topic, but we're just about out of time. So let's put it into the vault for the time being, because we've got other things to deal with.
And we're nearly up. So thank you very much for joining us. Don't forget to visit our webpage, which is now free of all those nasty spam and viruses.
That's right. thecubbyhouse.net.au.
Free of all that toxic malware.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook. You know our challenges. We want female memberships and we want more Melbourne memberships.
Now, I hear you've also put in a reward for when we hit 100 likes.
Yes, we will be doing a silly photo to commemorate our 100th like.
100 likes? What losers? I mean, how much does Lady Gaga have? I mean, like a couple of million.
Yes, least. But we don't walk around wearing meat suits either.
You now, don't.
Right. Jack, shut up.
Hey, Jack, did you shut up and get laid this week?
No.
No. Aww. Maybe another week. You can definitely email us through the week at podcast@thecubbyhouse.net.au. In the meantime, we are looking forward to our next week's show, which is...
It is Female Bears, Trans Bears, and the Masculinity Issue Within the Bear Community. That generally, when we think of bears within the community, we think of big, burly men. But what happens when big, burly chicks want to get involved?
All that next week.
Thinking of big, burly men, I can't think of another person, but the guy who's about to take over from us, his name is Alan. He's going to do the fabulous Eurovision show up next. But for tonight, from the Cubby House studio, this is Cookie.
I'm not getting laid this week. I'm Jack.
I'm Kevin, and I plan on getting very much laid. Thank you.
Catch you next week.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.